Good morning, everyone. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of in shock that we are this close to Christmas. Where has the year gone? And is anybody else like me still doing some Christmas shopping? All right, good. I'm not the only one. Thank you. Well, we are in this season, and there are so many things going around. I was even watching this morning. Okay, let me just get it out of the air. We know Jesus wasn't born December 25th, okay? Like, we get that. But we don't know the exact date. But that's the day we chose to commemorate. And yes, it coincides with a whole bunch of other traditions that have absolutely nothing to do with Jesus. If you were in Northern Europe, yes, it coincides with Yule. If you were in the Middle East, yes, it does coincide with Saturnalia and Sol Invictus. But guess what? This was a celebration that predated before that even. It coincides with something that is a tradition that does include candles, but we're kind of shy a few because originally it was Hanukkah, the festival of lights, celebrating what God did to free his people through the people known as the Maccabees. I'm not going to preach to you Hanukkah this morning. This is a church, not a synagogue. Maybe you showed up in the wrong place if that's what you're expecting. But it is important for us to understand that God was active in freeing his people. And Jesus celebrated Hanukkah with his people. But most importantly, he freed us through this son that he gave. Here in this Advent season, we do have the Advent wreath and the Advent candles. The wreath representing eternal life, that circle, that evergreen that does not fade. And the word Advent simply just means arrival. The arrival that the Harrises just read about from John 3:16 that was the cause, or rather was caused by, God's love. Here in the last week of Advent, the 4 weeks preceding Christmas, I wasn't sure how to organize it all this year because how often does Christmas actually fall on a Sunday? No, we're not canceling church. We're keeping Christ in Christmas. Why would in the world would we not have church? That's a perfect time for it, to have church on Sunday. This is the fourth week of Advent. We light that last candle, the candle of love, because love was what was behind it all. Today, churches are going to light a fourth candle as a symbol of Advent love. Believers will reflect on scriptures from the Old and New Testament about God's love for us, God's love that undergirds the whole story of the Bible, from creation to the fall to redemption and the ongoing process of restoration. As we've seen, hope is an important part of Christmas. Peace is an important part of Christmas. Joy is an important part of Christmas, but love is the most important part of all. Before we dive into the bigness of Advent love, would you join with me in a word of prayer? God, thank you for this time of year that we can reflect on the most important event in history. When love broke into our world. Thank you for the gift of your Son, who is the pinnacle of our hope, the source of our peace, and is the ultimate joy in this world. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son for us. I pray that we would see it this morning, that we would be overwhelmed by your love and the gift you gave, that we would pour out that love to others in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look again at the verses that the Harrises read. Starting John 3:16, it might be familiar, but I hope this morning we get a little bit of a different perspective of it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. The people have loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Today we look back and remember the first Advent when Christ arrived. We commemorate it on this day. We see God's promise of redemption fulfilled, and we know that a new era of restoration has been ushered into history. But what are we called to do now as we wait the second arrival of Jesus? What should we do now? Just celebrate Christmas? Well, the answer is rather simple. We're to do what Christ does. Love. What was it that caused God to send his son? Love. In fact, when his critics asked Jesus, trying to test him, what's the most important command in Scripture? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wrap it up into two words. Well, sorry, not two words. Never mind. Four words. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. So this Advent, let's ask how we can love God and love others more fully so that we might fulfill the call of Jesus Christ. And let's just look at it just in that one verse, John 3:16. That verse tells me not just how we are saved, but it says how God loves. And if we are going to love, we should love the way that God, who is love, who, by the way, invented love, let's see how he does it. And that tells us how we do it. First of all, we love with our resources. You have something that other people need. Yes, other people have things that you need too. That's beside the point. It's more important to love than to even be loved. We love with our resources, and I'm not just talking finances. I'm not just talking about material resources. Some of you have more time than others. Some of you got retired, and you think you would have more time than others, and you realize that's not the case. Some of you have more physical ability. Some of you have a more skill in a particular area than others. God has given you a resource to use as a gift to show love to others. Let's look back at our verse. For God so loved the world that he gave. Let's just stop there. God loved, so he gave. He had a resource that we needed, particularly his son, Jesus Christ, the righteousness that we were so desperately lacking, so we were destined for hell. He so loved us that he gave. True love gives. God, who is love, gave. See, love plays a vital role in the Christmas story. If Joseph didn't love Mary, soon as she started showing signs that she was pregnant, he could have chosen to stone her. But out of love for her, he was postponing. He was going to set her aside quietly. And then an angel tells him, no. In a passage we're going to look at on Christmas Eve, or Christmas, the angel says, "Oh, Joseph, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. What's inside her came from God as a miracle." And because Mary had a natural motherly love for her son, she treasured up everything that happened in his life in her heart, and she thought about them over and over again, giving us the historical accounts that we read in the Gospels. Even Luke gives away that that's his source. Mary treasured these things up in her heart. But ultimately, we see God's love for the world by sending his son for us in these verses. Now, it's by no mistake that John wrote this gospel, including this quotation. John was known as the apostle of love. And he actually wrote some letters later on, maybe in a book that you've been confused by, realizing that it's not the first book that's known by John's name, but in the book 1 John 3:18, he says this, "Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other." He says, "Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." He says, don't just say it. Let's show the truth by our actions. The truth will out, as the old saying goes. And if you don't truly love people inside, it's going to show up outside. Let's love with action. Let me put it to you this way. Love out loud. Love out loud. Sometimes we can say we love people. We love a person. We love something. But if our actions speak otherwise, our actions are going to speak louder than our words. And it's entirely possible for love to be completely silent. My grandfather was an old school military man. He was in the army, but he didn't carry a rifle. He carried the bodies. He was a medic. He drove the ambulances, and he could tell you laughing story after laughing story, but he saw things that would cause nightmares for you and I. And "I love you" didn't pass his lips very often. But there is not one person that knew him ever questioned whether or not he loved them. You know why? "Oh, Grandpa, I'm going through, you know, some financial, how much you need? Hey, I'm trying to do this to the house. I'll be right over. I got the wiring and everything set up." He would show up. He would be there and use whatever resources were at his disposal to show love. You never had to question that. In fact, in his dying days, he had cancer. It was the last months of his life. My dad was over there helping him out, and he reached over and put his hand on my dad's leg, and he said, "Son, I know why you're doing this." "Well, what do you mean, Dad? I'm trying to help, you know, just taking care. What do you mean I'm doing what?" He says, "Son, I know why you're over here. It's because you love me." And two grown men weep because love takes action. Love uses its resources. We love with our resources, but we also love with our presence. Make sure you're understanding this time of year. It's spelled presence, not presents. There's no T in there, okay? Yes, that is something that we give as resources, but is our presence alone, just being there, sometimes just showing up. Look at the book of Job. In the middle of his suffering, he has friends show up. They have their presence, and for 2 weeks, they are silent. They get it right the first 2 weeks. Then they open their mouths. Sometimes just being there is all the other person needs. Sometimes just saying, "Hey, just come on over." You don't have to talk about anything. You don't have to do anything. Just being with someone. There is some amazing connection that happens that you realize, this person can tolerate being around me for more than 5 minutes. They must actually care. We love with our presence. Let's look back at our verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." He gave his son. This son that said, "If you have seen me, you have seen my Father." He is the very presence of God in human form. He was the presence of God. He loved so much that he gave. And what did he give? His very presence, veiled in humanity. In fact, again, back in John's letter, if we skip ahead, he says, "No one has ever seen God." No one. "But if we love one another, God lives in us." God's love pours out from us if we love one another. People can see God in you. Have you ever heard that phrase? It's because of his love. And his love is made complete in us. It's perfected in us. It has reached its intended goal. When we love one another, we're showing the world the God that loved us. So much so that he gave us his son. If we revisit the big picture of God's love for his people during Advent, and that does not start at Christmas. That goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, when God promised, you will have a son. The serpent will bruise his heel, but he will bruise the serpent's head. That's the baby that was born on Christmas. That's the significance of that very first Advent, the coming of a Savior. And for this precise reason, Matthew starts off his gospel with a genealogy. I know, that's the part of the gospels that we tend to skip. Okay, yeah, so-and-so beget so-and-so, boring, let's move on. But in reality, it's there to show something. That God's love didn't start at Christmas. God's love started from before time began. And it continues until time is not even a thing. He loves us. Goes back through King David to Abraham. He wants us to understand that this major event is connected with God's bigger story of love and redemption. Love incarnated in the form of a tiny baby came to fulfill a promise that God made centuries before. Paul explains, he made himself nothing, that by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. This Advent love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. He gave his son. And we show that love simply by being present with people. And I'm not talking just being in the same room, genuinely being present. Have you ever listened to someone speaking to you? Not just waiting for your moment to speak, not just waiting for them to stop speaking so that you can insert your thoughts, but actually listen to understand and know their heart and mind. Being present with them. We love with our resources. We love with our presence. And we can love with our self. This is probably going to be the hardest one. The hardest way to show love is with yourself. Because we need to remember something. It takes sacrifice. When the angels spoke to those shepherds in the field and said they would find that baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. Do you understand what those cloths were? It wasn't just, okay, he's going to be bound up because you're supposed to bind up a baby so they don't scratch their face, right? No. Those shepherds knew exactly what those angels were saying. See, when a lamb was born to a shepherd at this time of year, for a Passover lamb, he had to be wrapped in certain cloths. Because if that lamb was bruised or blemished that young, he couldn't be used as a sacrifice. So there was actually a rabbinical law. If that was a spotless lamb, you wrap it up and you make sure that that thing is safe. Because one day it's going to be a sacrifice. That baby Jesus in the manger, wrapped in the clothes of a sacrificial lamb. He loved with himself. If we look again at our verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is a beautiful phrase, but when we understand it, we have to recognize we have eternal life because he died in our place. It wasn't duct tape that held him there. It wasn't nails that held him on a cross, but love that held him there. See, Christmas, Easter, and Good Friday, they're all tied together. And in fact, this loving with self, not loving of self, but loving with ourself, Jesus says this, later on in this book of John, greater love has no one than this. There's no better love, no bigger, nothing more significant than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. That with himself, he would say, I would give myself for you. God so loved the world. He loved the world so much, this much, he gave himself. the greatest gift ever given at Christmas was the gift of God's own Son. He gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Jesus didn't merely come into the world. He was sent into the world to be the presence of God, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through his sacrifice. So if you ever doubt that God loves you, look back at his Son. Look back at Jesus. Look at Jesus, the child born into the world as a baby at Christmas. Look at Jesus, the man teaching the people, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Look at Jesus, the Savior, suffering and dying on the cross for your sins to bring you to God. Look at Jesus, the King, risen from the dead and ascended to heaven, coming back for you to take you to be with him, that you might be where he is forever. His resources, his presence, his self. Look at that Jesus that loved you. Then you might begin to understand what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that nothing can ever separate you from God's love in Christ Jesus. He put it this way: I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, in case that wasn't enough, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love always comes first, though. Then our love should follow. As the Apostle John wrote, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, so we also ought to love one another." Our love for others should follow, not merely as an obligation, but as a natural overflow of God's love for us. If God loved you so much that he sent his Son Jesus to die for you, giving you the greatest resource in history, in the universe and beyond, the greatest presence possible, and giving you his full self, how could we not love others in return? What a great opportunity to reflect that to a world that needs it. And if God loved others so much that he sent his Son Jesus to die for them, how could we not? How could we hold it back? See, Christmas is not only a reminder of how much God loves us, how much he loves you, but also how much we should love other people. I often find myself woefully short on this. Not because I don't love other people, but because I love myself too much. So I hold those things back. I have this resource that person needs, but I. Oh, wait. I could give that person my presence, but I've got this in my schedule. Oh, wait. See, that sacrificing self, that giving of self, is the greatest outpouring of love. Is there someone you need to help this Christmas? Is there someone you need to reach out to this Christmas? Is there someone you need to forgive this Christmas? God showed his love for us at Christmas by sending his Son into the world as a sacrifice for our sins. How will you show your love for others this Christmas? Now, I could conclude here with a whole bunch of application points. I'd much rather give you a real-life illustration. Some of you are already doing this phenomenally. And it's no secret that at Christmas, what do kids enjoy the most? If they don't fall off. Presents. Now, while I would love to give presents to absolutely everybody here, y'all didn't sign up for attendance today, so I don't know. No. Some of you are showing love so much so that I wish I could give something to everyone just to say thank you. But some of you are giving so much so that it demands a bit of recognition of how you have shown love. One of the first ones is Paula McPhail. I'm going to walk to you, Mr. Bill. You hold still. She's our secretary, and she's been going through the ringer. Let's just put it that way. And without her, my head wouldn't stay on. She gives of her resource of time. She gives of herself all the time. She's calling people, connecting with. She's the one that keeps the prayer chain going. Because she loves her church. It's not easy. It's not fun. Working with me is a hassle. But she does it because she loves her church. She loves her God. Then we have our three wise men. Sorry, our three elders. So, elders, if you could come forward, it's going to be hard for me to get all around. Dave, Dan, Rob, these men, Dan, sorry, buddy. When you said to me, he said, give something to somebody else, it was already ordered. These men give of their time and wisdom. I call them frequently for advice, sage counsel. I ask them for prayer because they love our church. You know, they don't get paid. They probably do about as much work as I do because they love God. They love you. They give of that. They give of themselves time that they're not going to get back any other way. Man, I have not heard them complain once about it. What I have heard is just love pouring out through what they do. Then one of the greatest ways that our church shows love to our community is through our deacons. And that would not be held together were Tim Yottis not the head deacon. And Tim stays connected with me. He touches base with the people in the church. He has been faithful in our prayer meetings. I can always count on him if I'm out of commission. Tim, and the deacons, by the way, this is appreciation for all the deacons in what they do, because that is one of the greatest ways that we show love as a church. Every communion, we take an offering, and that goes out to the community, serving the needs. We give because we love our community, that giving of resources. She's not here today, so Sarah, would you come forward for your mom? Loretta. She has taken on so much this year, whether that was the Karen Knight event. She organizes the worship services now, because that's not my strength. And Loretta has been serving so well. I'm going to make sure she gets that. You understand that, right? And I always ask her, I even offered her, like, okay, could we give you a stipend for this? No. I'm not doing it for pay. Why would I settle for that? God gets the glory. That's love. Another person has stood up this year. Mr. Irv is not here today. He's on security. Irv Fink, would you come forward? Irv, he has stepped up as Awana commander. And I don't see him griping at kids. I don't see him shaking his head. Why did I do this? Why did I do this?
I hide it well.
Yeah, you can tell the Marines worked well for him. But I sense in him a love both for God and the children that he wants to introduce to him. That's beautiful love and a patience that I don't have. So blessings on him for it. And finally, Luther. Luther has stepped up for our teens, as well as being tech guy and how many other things. Thank you, Luther. Thank you, tech team, all of you. Can we just take a moment and just express our love for these people? Now, I'm going to have to go rapid fire with these groups, okay? As you can tell, there's a lot more up here. All right. Another weakness of mine, planning events is not my forte. I'm a big picture guy, fuzzy picture guy. Okay, I just don't like details. So there's a group that has been meeting, and three people in particular are really key to this. Julie Walk, Julie White, and Kathy Fink. Would you come forward? I want to give you all just a little token to say thank you. We want to be part of your Christmas celebration. Here, Eric, I'll give you yours for Julie. And inside this, don't think it's just an ornament. Inside this, there's some sweets inside these ornaments because your love is so sweet for others that it is clearly sensible. People can tell is for it. He's on the door. Dwight, come in here.
Dwight Schimmel, calling Dwight Schimmel. Dwight Schimmel to the front.
We already, Dwight and Tracy wasn't here today, so she already got it. These people love our church as well. Dwight had the misfortune of also working on my home this year, so he got to hear all sorts of craziness that happens in his pastor's house. But their love for our church body and taking care of the physical needs just of this building allow us to do what we do. Allow us this facility, and they give of their time and efforts and those resources. They give up time. They're the ones that get called when the alarm goes off and I don't answer my phone. Yeah, I appreciate that. We also have our financial team. So if I read your name, please make your way forward or have a representative do so. Carol Walker, Randy Walk, Mitchell Walk, Rachel Detweiler, and Dave Moore. Vivi, would you come for Rachel? These people make sure that I stay in budget. They take care of our church financially. They make sure that the books are kept, look out. They make sure that we are on track for what is coming. Here, I'll give you your dad's too. Wait a minute. Because while we don't think of church as a business, there is a business side to it. And we have to make sure that we're taking care of what God has given to us. We have those resources. And if it weren't for the financial team, we wouldn't have the financial resources to be able to be a blessing to others. Sticking to that. So thank you very much, financial team. Now for the biggest group. Vivi, you're going to get your workout. All right? Awana teams. Vivi McCutcheon, Mike and Dana Hosko, Jared and Dawn Kahn, Tara Casper, Derek and Stacy Price, Ryan and Lisa Wild, Andy and Casey Miles, Sarah Dickin and Christy Borman. If I called your name, would you make it your way to the front? These people have given their time. And other resources. Thank you very much. Dawn and Jerry, whether that's serving as leaders or secretaries. I'm going to take Sarah's. Thank you guys so much. I figure same ornament on the tree twice might be redundant. And by the way, as I'm saying these names, many of these people serve in many capacities. I hope you understand. I had to figure out, okay, do I read a name and a whole bunch of things that they do, or just, okay, they're in this group? So many of you serve behind the scenes in other ways, too. You serve very effectively. You serve sacrificially. Then we do have our tech team, and I'm not expecting you guys to come down from up there. I will make my way back there because you're all together. Where we have Pete Posnett, Eric White, Jeff Reese, Luther Wagner is already here. You got the boxes, buddy, sorry. And Caleb Orr. Were it not for these men, we would be looking at, well, no screens whatsoever. You wouldn't be hearing me very clearly. And they have given their expertise. I don't understand the difference between a subwoofer and a tweeter. I have no clue how to work a paddle antenna versus a regular single stick antenna. You can talk about Sennheiser, Bose, and whatever with these guys. I have no clue what they're talking. It's another language. And they use their expertise to make sure that what God presents here at Grace is heard, not only here in the building. Last week we had almost 400 people watch our message online. Praise God. And thank you, men, for sharing your love. By the way, these things that we're giving, these are just tokens. You deserve so much more. By God's grace, once we get to heaven, you'll get what's coming to you. That's our tech team. Thank you. For the ones that put up with our children as well, teachers. I'm going to read a list of names. If I say your name, please come forward. Susan Yothers, Sally Woomer, Bill, I'll come to you, Bill McPhail, Rick and Stacy Rhodes, Karen Stewart, Hope Schaefer, and Brock and Emily Hettinger. These teachers sit with our children every week and teach them the Word of God. Show the truth in basic forms. They have the resources. They have the time to do so. Thank you so much for what you do. My children even come home, and one of our Sunday traditions is, okay, what'd you learn in Sunday school? What'd you learn in junior church? It used to be, you know, I don't remember. Now they remember. Our teachers are wonderful. They're patient. They're diligent. They don't just come in and wing it. They do great work with our students. They invest throughout the week. Thank you for showing love for our children and God's word. Finally, and by the way, just because your name is not on the list doesn't mean you are not significant. Does not mean we don't appreciate what you do. It means the financial team said there's only so much we can do. They did their job. All right? It doesn't mean it's not important. But music ministries. Sarah Hunter, Mary Beth Reese, Madison Yothers, Karen Mogul, Ethan White, and Jimmy Novak, of whom I think only Sarah is here today. Madison, you were here. There you are. These people sacrifice throughout the week. They use their singing abilities. Thank you too so much. Thank you all that are involved in the music ministries. Thank you for our pianists and choir. And as I said, so many of you serve in so many areas, you deserve like 50 ornaments. It would be a tree's worth. Thank you for your love. Thank you for letting the love of God pour through you. That in these moments where we get to celebrate your love just a little bit, thank you for making Christmas all year long. I was talking with Donna before the service began. She's talking, I only get to wear this sweater once a year. I was like, no. For Christians, Christmas is every day. The love of God poured out through us is not just for Advent season. It's not just for December 25th every year. It is for every day where we have the hope, peace, joy, and love pouring out through us. So friends, these are just examples of what people are doing in the church building. The love doesn't stop at that doorway. Friends, love one another. Let Advent love be the best gift you give this year. Giving your resources, yes. Giving your presence, absolutely. Giving yourself in every way possible. Let that be fueled, not because, okay, we should be doing this, but because it is a natural outpouring of the love of God for you and the love of God through you. In closing, 1 John 4, 7 through 12 says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. God, thank you for loving us. Even when we were unlovely, even when we were your enemy, thank you for loving us. Even while we are at war with you, thank you for making peace with us. Even when we were without a hope in the world, you sent hope into the world. Thank you for the joy that is ours because of the God who loved us and sent his Son to die for us. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to embody that. Give us fresh opportunities for that this week, that we would love people who might, just like we were, might be unlovely. But Lord, I pray that your love would so richly pour out through us that it would be a Christmas light for others. That we would pour out that love that you first showed to us. That it would so overwhelm us and overflow from us that we won't be able to contain that love. Lord, this Christmas season, this Advent season, I pray that we would have and give the most significant gift of all, love. In Jesus' name, and for your glory, I ask. Amen.